Okay, we're recording.
Thank you so much. This is the November 12, 2024 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar 11 a.m. edition. I am hearing examiner Sharon Rice. I'm an attorney appointed by the county commissioners to provide land use hearing examiner services for Thurston County. And here at 11, I am considering project 2024-101643. This project is known as the Powell Reasonable Use Exception, and it relates to property at 3124 81st Avenue Northwest in Olympia. I have some instructions on how best to participate if you'll follow along. Anybody who needs to get my attention today should call me Examiner Rice or Ms. Rice, and if you have requests on how you should be addressed, let us know when you first testify. Of course, this virtual hearing conducted on the Zoom platform is being recorded. I do need to be able to hear all testimony, and because that's true, I typically ask folks to keep their audio muted when they're not testifying, and also please check phones and other devices you can control in your environment so that they won't interrupt your testimony when it's your turn. Please remember that despite the virtual format, it is a legal proceeding. I will ask folks as best as possible to try speaking one at a time so all testimony can be heard on the recording. When you first speak, I will ask you please to state and spell your name, and except for the applicant, I will be asking you please to give us your correct job title so I can correctly identify you in the findings. And then I'm going to swear you in and ask you to take an oath to tell the truth. So just a few things to know about land use hearings and my order of operations here today. First, the State of Washington Appearance of Fairness Statute applies. That doctrine requires the decision maker to be free from bias or prejudice. As the author of the county's final land use decision in this application, I will disclose the following. Again, I am not a Thurston County employee. I work on contract for this government and about 9 other cities and counties in Western Washington. I don't own property, and I don't have family or friends who own property that are anywhere near the subject property. And I have not had conversations with anybody, not staff, not applicant, and not members of the public regarding the merits of the proposal. Because all of those facts are true, I can issue an impartial decision in this application. Please understand, anyone who thinks they have grounds to challenge my impartiality is required to raise that challenge at their first opportunity, which would be your testimony today if you are at this hearing. Also, please understand, permits are not decided based on how popular they are. And what this really means is it doesn't matter if there's a bunch of people opposing or if no one is opposing a permit, because the number of people for or against a land development, that's not evidence. I will be reviewing the evidence to see if it successfully demonstrates compliance with the reasonable use exception criteria for approval. And all testimony offered here today will be relied on to the extent that it helps me determine whether or not those criteria are satisfied. So I'm just letting you know, the number of people is not itself evidence. The burden of proof in a land application belongs to the applicant, and that means the applicant is the party whose job it is to provide evidence that successfully demonstrates compliance with the criteria for permit approval. However, I will hear from county staff first. So order of presentations will be, first I'll hear from county staff, then I will hear from the applicants, and then I will hear public comment. I do have questions queued up for both staff and applicants. If we have public comment on this application, each party will have a chance to respond, first county, then applicant. The applicant gets the last say because it's their burden of proof. For anyone having difficulty hearing or participating today, please know there will be in this hearing an opportunity for post-hearing written public comment from people who had technology problems participating. And that's something I do in all virtual hearings that I conduct. So it means the record will not close today. It will be held open at least for the possibility of post-hearing written public comment for 2 business days. And if we do receive any, staff and the applicant will have 2 business days to respond. So there will be a schedule. And at the end of the hearing, I will go over the schedule and you'll know all the dates in detail. At the end of the hearing, I will take the evidence under advisement, and I will be issuing a written decision within 10 business days of the close of the record. as we go forward today. Miss Katie, the hearing clerk, is officially deputized to interrupt at any point she needs to bring my attention to something that I appear to be oblivious to. Just want to acknowledge the exhibits I was provided before today's hearing so I could conduct an efficient proceeding. The first will be the staff report to the examiner. It is exhibit one. And on the last page of that staff report is a list of attachments identified as attachments A through I. In addition, I received exhibit two, affidavit of hearing, and exhibit three, an updated critical area report. So those are the documents I received. Exhibits one, two, and three are admitted. With that, we're ready to hear from county staff. If I could ask please to have county staff unmute, please state and spell your name, give us your correct job title, and then allow me to swear you in.
I'm Robert Smith, R-O-B-E-R-T-S-M-I-T-H. I'm a senior planner in Thurston County.
Thank you very much, sir. If I could ask you to raise your hand to take the oath. Do you swear or affirm your testimony today will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much, and go right ahead.
Okay, I've submitted a staff report that analyzes or presents our analysis of the proposal, but I just wanted to summarize that for the hearing. The subject application is a request for a reasonable use exception approval to place a three-bedroom manufactured home within a wetland buffer. In addition to the residence, a detached garage, driveway, parking apron, and uncovered deck are proposed. The subject property is located on the north side of 81st Avenue Northwest in the rural designated portion of the county. The Category 2 wetland bisects the property on a north-south axis. The standard buffer for the wetland, as required by the county's critical area ordinance, is 220 feet. Together, the wetland and buffer encompass the entire parcel, leaving no room for development. The proposed residential development is located along the eastern property boundary. As proposed, the development will come within 74 feet of the wetland boundary. The applicant's biologist has prepared a mitigation plan to compensate for impacts caused by the proposed development. The mitigation consists of removal of invasive plant species and planting of native species that will enhance the buffer. The amount of mitigation area proposed in the original mitigation plan did not meet the required one-to-one ratio enhancement to impact area. Since preparation of the staff report, the applicant submitted an updated critical area report that includes an increased area of mitigation. I believe that's attached or exhibit three. The updated mitigation plan proposes an enhancement to 4,000 square feet of area to compensate for the proposed 3,995 square foot area of impact. This updated mitigation proposal achieves the one-to-one ratio required by the critical area ordinance. Staff from the Environmental Health Department and Public Works Department have reviewed the application. The health staff states that they have no objections to the request subject to a condition. Public Works staff had no comment. The staff report contains a recommended condition. If the hearing examiner approves the reasonable use exception application, staff further recommends that condition of approval D in the staff report should be amended to state that the applicant shall complete all buffer restoration and mitigation enhancement as proposed in the updated critical area report, so exhibit three.
Great.
And I also noted that I somehow included two recommended conditions of same condition, which is health department's recommended condition, C and H. So one of those can be stricken. But that concludes my summary.
Mr. Smith, you just foresaw almost every question I had for you. Thank you for that. So you agree that H is a repeat. I'll strike H. One question you did not address, and you may be able to help me with now, the proposed offsite septic, or the proposed septic system will be on the adjacent parcel. I don't have a condition that states when the applicant must demonstrate evidence of the easement, the legal easement that will be required for that. Do you know when that would be required?
I think maybe the health department staff can address this with the applicant, but I believe there is a condition. It's one of the ones that were duplicated.
Yes.
Condition C, so that in the future, the applicant will need to apply for a septic system, and at that time, It will be reviewed, including the requirements for easements or.
Okay.
But of
So
course.
the easement, the legal permission to put the required septic system on the adjacent property, that would be handled through the septic permitting process.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. We can have Mr. Overton testify to that as well. I think, Mr. Smith, the only other question I had for you was, in one point in the staff report, it sounded from the language that was selected, it was on page 4, it sounded like the county wasn't, the county was open to debate about whether or not the 50% buffer reduction failed to leave adequate room for residential use of the site. Do you agree, sir, that 50% buffer reduction allowed under the legal non-conforming lots provisions, that if that were applied, there's still not adequate room to build a property?
That is correct. That is correct. And I think further on in the analysis of the specific criteria that I stated then.
Agreed. Yeah. The first time I saw it, it sounded like you were not 100% sure. The next time I saw it, it sounded like you agreed.
Yeah.
I just wanted
yeah.
to confirm. So great. Thank you for confirming. Anything else you want to bring to my attention at this point, sir?
Not at this time, no, thank you.
All right, great. Let's have Mr. Overton go ahead and unmute, sir, and state and spell your name. Let me swear you in.
Hey, my name is Kyle Overton, Kyle Overton, and I'm a senior environmental health specialist with Thurston County Environmental Health.
Thank you very much, sir. Let me swear you in, please. Would you raise your hand? Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Mr. Overton, I'm just simply asking you if you can help me understand and confirm the previous testimony that the legal easement would be handled at the time of septic permitting.
That's correct. On-site application hasn't been submitted as part of this project or reviewed. So if the applicant were to propose the drain field on the neighboring parcel, as they're showing here, we would review and require the easement at the time of application and prior to approval of the on-site sewage system.
Okay. So in your department's opinion, there's no need to add a condition to the land use permit requiring the easement to be provided because it will be handled through the health department process.
Correct. Yeah. Prior to final occupancy of the residence, they would be required to have a conforming septic, which would require legal access.
Great. Thank you for that. And Mr. Overton, anything else you want to bring to my attention?
No, other than the applicant did indicate they wish to proceed with the reasonable use application without approval of the on-site sewage system, and environmental health's no objection does not constitute approval of the on-site or site suitability for an on-site system.
Great. Thank you for confirming that for the record, sir. I don't have other questions for you. We have
you.
Arthur Saint in the meeting from Public Health. Mr. Saint, is there anything your department wants to put in the record at this point?
No, not at this time.
All right. Thank you for being here. In case of questions, I think we're ready to hear from applicant representatives. Thank you very much, everybody. If we could have the applicant representative please unmute, state and spell your name, give me your correct job title, and allow me to swear you in.
Yes, hello, everybody. I am Adam Lanier, AdamLanier, and I am the applicant. I'm the owner of Adam Lanier Design.
Great. If I could swear you in, please. Do you swear or affirm your testimony today will be true? If so, please say I do.
You.
Thanks, Mr. Lanier. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think Robert, you know, really defined it well. So just to kind of recap what we're trying to do, the wetlands themselves and the boundaries that are set forth by the county encompass the whole entire property. So we really didn't have an option to do anything outside of the buffer zone. So we found the most, what we found to be the most non-impactful area is already kind of cleared out already. So we're really not going to be doing a lot of damage to any, you know, any trees, anything really that's enhancing the buffer at this time. And so, like I said, or like Robert said, we hired the wetland biologist to further our thoughts and our methods to create, you know, identifying the wetland, the buffers, and also the mitigation plan to make sure that we don't cause any further damages to the wetland itself. So in doing all that, I think we have a really good plan to really not impact. It works really well for the owner, and Yeah, that was pretty much our goal, and we set forth what our goal was.
Excellent. I thank you for providing before the hearing the updated critical error report that the staff report requested. So if I read it correctly, it sounds like the currently proposed enhancement area is 4,000 square feet. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, correct.
All right. I obviously don't have any substantive questions for you, and I'm just trying to get you to talk to me a little bit about the critical area enhancement. I don't have any other questions. Is there anything else you'd like to bring to my attention?
No, not at this time.
Okay. And the property owner is also here. Did she wish to testify? If not, it's fine, but if yes, now would be your turn.
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay, great. All right, thanks for that. Miss Katie, am I saying this correctly? There are no attendees.
That's correct. There's no members of the public here.
So this is probably the fastest RUE hearing I've ever held. Let's go back to county staff. Mr. Smith, anything else before I close the record?
No, not for me.
Great. Anybody else from county staff want to add anything? Thank you very much. Mr. Lanier, any final thoughts before we close the record?
I don't think so, unless you had any, further questions. Again, we just met our requirements. As far as the septic goes, we understand that we'll have to get that, the easement and stuff like that when we, move down the road in the process. Our goal was to finish. We wanted to get the REB approval first before we spent the time and effort and funds to go through the process of getting the easement and septic design. So that was a little bit of our method of why we did it that way.
All right. All right. I don't have any other questions. I feel like I definitely have everything I need to decide this application. And so I hate to chase us all out of the meeting so soon, but I think we've accomplished our business. So with that, I will go ahead and close the record. I know we aren't expecting an avalanche of public comment because there hasn't been any so far, but I will be holding the record open as I do in all cases for this matter. For 2 business days for post-hearing written public comment. Not expecting any, so the record will probably close on November the 14th. And then that would generate a decision issuance deadline of December 4th because there are 2 legal holidays in that 2-week period that follows the close of the record. If we do receive any post-hearing legal written public comment, it would presumably go to either Ms. Katie or Mr. Smith. I would ask whoever receives it to forward it around, make sure the applicants get it as soon as possible. And I will ask for planning staff and an applicant representative to respond in writing. You'll also have 2 business days, which means your responses are due by November the 18th. If we receive post-hearing public comment and the record closes on the 18th, then the 10 business day decision deadline becomes December the 6th. So at the And I can tell you now, it will definitely be sooner than that because you caught me at a good time. So we will get this decision out as soon as possible. And I look forward to getting it to you in a timely manner. And I hope that you all have happy holidays as they come up. That's it.
Thank you very much.
Take care.